Some frog. There was a noise, too, a kind of plop noise. Then the thing bulged. Ralph surprised himself, not so much by the quality of his voice, which was even, but by the bravado of its intention. We'll go and look. For the first time since he had first known Jack, Ralph could feel him hesitate. Now? His voice spoke for him. Of course. He got off the trunk and led the way across the clinking cinders up into the dark, and the others followed. Now that his physical voice was silent, the inner voice of reason, and other voices too, made themselves heard. Piggy was calling him a kid. Another voice told him not to be a fool, and the darkness and desperate enterprise gave the night a kind of dentist's chair unreality. As they came to the last slope, Jack and Roger drew near, changed from the ink stains to distinguishable figures. By common consent, they stopped and crouched together. Behind them, on the horizon, was a patch of lighter sky, where in a moment the moon would rise. The wind roared once in the forest and pushed their rags against them. Ralph stirred. Come on. They crept forward, Roger lagging a little. Jack and Ralph turned the shoulder of the mountain together. The glittering lengths of the lagoon lay below them, and beyond that, a long white smudge that was the reef. Roger joined them. Jack whispered, "Let's creep forward on hands and knees. Maybe it's asleep." Roger and Ralph moved on, this time leaving Jack in the rear, for all his brave words. They came to the flat top where the rock was hard, to hands and knees. A creature that bulged. Ralph put his hand in the cold, soft ashes of the fire